Media Pro Studios.
Hey, Baboos. Welcome to the fourth episode of Brown Bears International podcast series. My today's guest is someone who has just flowing into my life as freely and as smoothly like beer. And she has a very strong head, very flavorful, and very cheerful, just like a beer head. Baboos, please welcome Obakeng Malope. She's from South Africa, and she came into my life through an Instagram message. She had just one request. Please support me for beer education with the unemployed youth of South Africa. I didn't need to think twice. I just said yes. So here she is. Hi, Obakeng.
Hi, Chetty. How are you?
I'm very well. How have you been?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling, you know, excited about this. I can't wait to talk to you.
Most importantly, you know, how's that woman who's been beating the drums in the background?
She can't stop. According to her, 3 a.m. in the morning and 5 right now, from 4 to 6 is the time for to speak to her spirits. So she's probably okay. Speaking to the spirits right now.
Okay. God bless her. Since we talked God and blessings, I would like to ask you about your grandparents' blessings and the beer that they brewed. I believe, you know, that's what influenced you in the beer career too.
Yes. So here in South Africa, we have something called traditional beer. Traditional beer is being brewed by our grandparents and the women in our families who, you know, have a structure, like, you know, your aunt. They don't choose any woman in the family. So that beer is not used for, you know, recess and all this fun stuff. It's for important family issues. So, like, if you're celebrating the birth of the baby, marriage, or it's a funeral, or the boy is coming from initiation. So that beer is made from a sorghum. So sorghum and maize is made from sorghum and maize. So me seeing my grandmother making that beer, you know, mixing the ingredients together, the millimeal and the sorghum, and adding warm water, leaving it there to ferment. And the next day she will be, you know, cooking it in the pot, leaving it there to, you know, cool, and add a little bit of water, leave it to ferment again. And after it ferments, just sieving out the liquid, you know, separating the leftover sorghum and the liquid. You know, it made me have interest in beer. So I was like, you know what, I want to do something like this. And it stood in my heart. And also, again, our grandparents are not only beer brewers, are storytellers as well. We used to sit by the fire, listen to stories about animals, that animals used to talk, and animals did this and that. So those two things, storytelling and filmmaking, they match together because beer brewing is storytelling.
That's how you became a filmmaker and then got interested in beer as well?
I became a filmmaker first. I studied filmmaking and I'm a qualified filmmaker. I've been making films, I've won awards. So as time went by, in life, I started being interested in beer because for me, I didn't think beer is a woman thing. So after seeing an advert on Facebook about the Cicerone certification program, that's when I was like, okay, they're looking for 100 women who are black and they want to teach them beer brewing. I better, you know, register and apply for this. I applied, I got accepted. And after learning Cicerone, that's when I expanded my horizon and I became a beer brewer and merged those two skills together.
Oh, fabulous. That's amazing. So you're a filmmaker, you're a certified Cicerone, you've got a certification as well. You're one of the 100 black women on that list. And then you got into empowering the youth of South Africa. How did you conceptualize beer as art?
So for me, after finishing the education program, I was visiting family members. They live in the ghetto area, the township areas. So I saw the youth, you know, standing by over the age of 21. Those people are learned. These people have education. They are able to work. So I saw them sitting by the street, you know, not working. So for me, I was like, okay, this is not right. I was afforded an opportunity to study beer brewing. How about I pass on what I've learned? So I want the youth to learn how to make beer and empower themselves and get to make an employment for themselves. So beer is teaches the youth over the age of 21 who are unemployed the skills of beer podcast, beer brewing, licensing, setting their own beer, and also beer and food pairing. In communities whereby people are poor, we want a beer to go to those communities. The communities that I saw, I want beer to go to those communities, empower them through entrepreneurship. They must stop abusing beer. They must turn this thing into a career.
So when you started the entire Beer is Art movement, from the time you started to now, how has beer changed your perspective about life?
I didn't know a lot of things about beer. I didn't know that you can do beer and food pairing. I always knew about wine and food pairing. So beer and food pairing, okay, chocolate trifles, they go with a stout. You know, you can pair a lager or a blonde with like light food, like your fish. You know, sometimes a blonde goes with a green salad, your starter. So those things, I didn't know about them. And for me, beer was something that's like, you know, dirty, people party, people are stabbing each other with bottles. And I saw something that's very sophisticated, like people going to like art galleries, art fairs, people who have money, people who dress well, people who are well-learned, people whom, you know, if after you brew a beer, he gives you the beer, you taste the ingredients, they can tell you what food goes with this, what you put in this, your method and the hops that goes through it. So I saw a community of people who are well-learned, who are eager to teach other people who want to come in the community as well. So that's how it changed my life. That's how, you know, it made me, you know, want to share my knowledge as well and be on this, like, you know what, I have to do what they're doing and teach.
Obakeng, you've been talking to many, many countries of, you know, publications, brewers, beer companies, and from what I see, everyone has received it very well. You've been getting a lot of support. What have been the reactions from all these people?
I've been to a lot of countries. I've been to Switzerland, I've been to Namibia, the UK, and France, and so forth and so forth. But what I'm telling you is that I've learned that the beer styles that are happening and the beer cultures in those countries. For example, in the UK, the women drink beer. And for me, it was like a, you know, taboo. It was my first time going, you know, to the UK. It was in 2015. So it opened up my mind. It's that, you know, women can do this as well. And I've learned about their food and their culture as well in terms of beer, the way they pair their food and their beer. I was like, you know what? I'm taking this back at home. So for my travels, I get to learn the kind of beers they prefer, how the beer culture is. The, you know, they be chilling in the parks and, you know, enjoying beer and watching a big screen of a movie playing. So those are the kind of things that I took back home. I was like, you know what, we need this kind of environment in our country, a chilled vibe whereby people are having intellect conversation, drinking for you know, for learning, drinking for, you know, education process, and enjoying themselves, not doing mischief things. So that's what I've learned, I've taken from those countries.
And have they learned a lot about the South African beers and how it is brewed, the history, the culture? I'm sure there's a lot of cross-pollination that happens out there.
You know, people ask me, especially when I'm having Zoom meetings with people from the US, and I have Zoom meetings with people from Japan and a journalist from India. They're asking the same thing. Tell us about Nkombo tea. Tell us about a traditional beer. People are interested in the traditional beer that I just explained. And also they want to know the beer culture. So there's a narrative that's been passed on TV, you know, us in Africa, we are broke, we are poor, you know, we live in the jungle. So people want to know if we live in like them. And I always tell them, we live like you. I go to a restaurant, I get a beer paired meal, I get chocolate trifles, I get and a stout, and I enjoy, you know, my meal, or an ice cream with a beer that's paired with that ice cream. So that's what they want to learn. We are each other's information. The media is not telling the right information, me the right information about India. So, you know, finding out that, oh, you use coca, you use all these cool ingredients, you know, Neil Jewell, you know, all those kind of things. So it's like that. We share knowledge. People want to know how we live because of what they know. It's sort of like distorted.
I totally identify with that. You know, this is a third world problem, the way I would look at it. The West, or, you know, the Europeans think that we, like India, is still a land of snake charmers, you know, and elephants. And they can't imagine, oh, we have more to us than just that. In fact, the technology that comes is largely India's contributed big time to the world. And so, you know, when I do these podcasts, they also ask me, oh, isn't beer illegal? Isn't drinking illegal? Do you guys get hanged out here? You know, it's quite surprising that they are so obtuse and just not, you know, up to date what's happening in the third world too.
That's very true. But you know what? One thing about beer, you know, cuts all those borders. You know, we both follow each other on Instagram and all this social media. As you've seen right now, we have a collaboration brew that have came out called Mkeka that celebrates Kwanzaa in America. So Mkeka says, you as African Americans, you are part of us as Africans, as we are part of you. When you celebrate Kwanzaa, we celebrate with you. You celebrate your Black heritage, which is our heritage as well. So now we are starting to open conversations. We are not two people, we are one. You guys came from us. We all come from the same soil. So now it's no longer about, okay, they're from Africa, below country, below income, whatever, we the same. So beer has mend those bridges, and beer has shown that, you know what, what we say is the same thing. We are together. We will use this medium as a way to tell our stories, our Black stories, our African stories, to celebrate our heritage and speak about issues that we don't get an opportunity to speak about.
You know, I always believe, and I keep saying this even as my sign off, that beer makes the world a cheerful place to live in. And when I say world, it is all of us are a little worlds, and we all come together and we all flow together. So, and nothing unifies us, at least in our world, like the way beer does. You were just speaking about these brews that are being made for Beer is Art Movement. Tell us something about it.
Yes. So we had a collaboration brew from a brewery called Gentile Brewery from Massachusetts in America. So we brewed a South African Pilsner. My dearest friend, Paul, who's the owner of the brewery, said, you know what, let's make an Italian Pilsner. And I was like, okay, you know what, we'll make your beer have a South African footprint. It's sorghum. As I've been telling, we use sorghum for our food. We have porridge in the morning that's soft, that's made from sorghum. Later in the afternoon and at night, it's a thicker version of that, which is also made from sorghum. We enjoy those two things with vegetables, meat, or fish. So, and also we have sorghum for beers, sorghum for your bread, and all these kind of things. So let's infuse that beer with sorghum. So that beer, it's a beer, it's art, sorghum pilsner, and we call it a South African pilsner. Also, we had a collaboration brew in Postdoc Brewery in Redmond, Washington in the USA, and it's a IPA infused with sorghum as well. You know, we started to have a footprint as well, just like you Indians who have a footprint in your beers and these fantastic beers. From Canada, it was also a very beautiful beer. And if you can look at the outside, the label of the can, we are celebrating our tribe, the Khoisan tribe, you know, the drawings that they left on the walls and the cage. It was so interesting. People were interested about that as well. And also, we have another beer. It's under the Goddess series. So it's a tart ale, but it has sorghum as well. So when we get deeper in this conversation, talking about beer being storytelling, then I will tell you more about the Goddess series beer, using beer to tell stories about our past and our goddesses that existed here in Africa.
On a very light note, I want to ask you, have you ever brewed the sorghum beer? It sounds so yum. So has your grandmother ever taught you?
Yes, they do teach us, but for now, there's a specific woman in the family brew. When they know that when they pass us on, then we'll take over because we know.
But the for now, you know, lives on.
People are. Once they know and trust that this one, she's the one who does this, she's going to be doing this all the time. They don't want somebody new. They don't want you to, you know, try and test and, you know, take chances with this important stuff. But everybody has a chance here. You grow up, you become a child, you have your moment to be a child and young adult. So when the time will come that I take over, I will take over. But I am taught beer brewing, I'm taught storytelling, and I'm taught poetry. Poetry, wow. So it's like African poetry, you know, the kind of poetry that our tribes used to do. Like if there's like funerals, there's like weddings, you have to, you know, say your clan, your tribe's poems, how we as a tribe, we are so proud of each ourselves and how we introduce ourselves to the other tribes. So that's the kind of indigenous knowledge that I've learned.
So why don't you say a poetry? Do you have a poetry on beer, or you just have any poetry? Just recite one.
It's in my language.
Absolutely. I would love to hear it. And so will our listeners. Say something.
All right. To explain it before I say it, we are from the elephant clan.
Okay.
So we categorize ourselves with animals. So the elephant, it's like, it's gentle, it's kind, but don't mess with it, right? And it will get angry. And also from my father's side, we are from the hyena clan. Oh. Very cheerful, very, you know, naughty, very, you know, poking people. But when it's time to fight, they run. And so somewhere, somehow, you know, those people, they become those characters. So this is the elephant kind of sort of like clan. So we say, Dumela tlo, unzore tlo tlo, ai itlo utswe ebo menu tswe itswe yeme ka marukiting, khoma khamelo mutlweng, khoma mabasimane. So it's like when we go there, we just introduce ourselves that we are the elephant tribe. We are like this, we are like that. You know, we are very gentle, we are very friendly, but don't mess with us. We stick together and all those kinds of things. So we say this, if I die though, when I say this in my funeral, marriage and all those stuff, that's how they say these things.
Oh, how beautiful is that? Speaking of the elephant, do you know we have an elephant god? He's called Lord Ganesh. Yeah, and I'm a very strong believer of him. So when you were saying this about, you were describing the elephant, I was thinking of Ganpati. On that note, Uba King, we are going to go to the next section of our podcast. It's called Cheers Chatty Chugging Round. I'm going to ask you some questions and you have to give me really rapid answers to it. My first one, how old were you when you had your first beer?
21.
Is that the legal age?
No, the legal age is 18.
How did you like the taste or didn't like the taste?
Back then, you know, I was young, and I went to a different stages of my life. So, as a person, and I saw this on a documentary, You know, the person, the guy was like, you know, the first time I tasted craft beer, it took me out of this world. I was like, wow, where have you been in my life? And then that happens with a lot of people because of mainstream beer is just mainstream beer. But when it tastes craft beer, you know, there's beer made from corn, made from cherry.
Fresh ingredients.
It's like MasterChef.
Yes.
It's like MasterChef, the reality show. You know, we all see a person making muffins, making eggs, and it's normal. But for them, you know, there's a technique that goes there. There's, you know, how the fluffy the eggs must be. So the technique, you know, the tasting craft beer is like something that you've never had before.
I had to ask you to describe beer as a person. How would you do that?
Very sophisticated, very tasty, very smooth, very, I can say, sweet. And also, again, you know, very dangerous if you misuse or abuse.
Like the elephant.
Yes, yes. So with that say, I say, don't drink and drive. Don't drink while you're pregnant.
Be responsible.
Yes.
What are your top three favorite beer brands or any beers or styles?
Start with Genesis, an Irish stout.
Okay.
Why? Because of you, it's a stout. You can pair it with chocolate, you know, these desserts. I love chocolate. I'll be mentioning it, and those ice creams. And I love it because of it has a widget inside, whereby it's a little ball, it's like a golf ball. It has like two holes. You open it, it spins, sends the beer spinning. So when you pour it, it's like it's a trap. It's like it comes from a tab. And that foam, you have to wait for that foam to become beer. It's like, yeah, creamy, sort of ice cream, like, yeah. And I also love Corona. Corona is very light. You can pair it with your salad. And why I'm saying salad, and I'm mentioning it again, when you taste beer, let's say if I have a stout with a green salad, it will overpower the taste of the salad. So when you pair it well with the blonde, you can taste the salad and you can taste the beer. So flavors are like that. They can also cancel each other. They can complement each other. They can marry each other, or they can enhance each other. You can get something very spicy and add maybe something spiceful on a beer or something mellow. You know, those kind of flavors. That's why I like a blonde for that kind of toast. And also Budweiser, you can pair it, you know, with fish, chicken, you know, those kind of like soft, no intense flavor kind of food. So that's why I can say, you know, that's where I stand. And also not because I'm complimenting the Americans, but you know, we gotta give it to them. You know, 10,000 breweries, they've done their part. Yeah, they really know.
And we will get there too.
Of course.
Very soon. But now I'm gonna ask you to sing a song and dedicate it to beer.
So you came in at the right time. I just edited sort of like a promo for the guys that we are doing. It's not for distribution, it's just for a promo, and I use a jazz song. So this song, it was during the apartheid era, whereby it's called Stimela. So it says the men used to leave the villages to go to Johannesburg, the city of gold, to work in mines, hard work, searching for gold. And the gold didn't come to us. It went to the people who are rich. And those people, they never shared even 3% of it. They enriched ourselves while we sit there and suffer. So there's a beer that they advertise on TV, and it's called Black Label. They always show men mining, men pulling heavy duty stuff. So I combined that beer with that thing that, you know what, with that song that says, the song says that it's not a singing song. The person talks while jazz is playing. He says the words that I've just said right now by the late Huma Segal. So that's the kind of beer, the Black Label, the one that says, you know, you black, you strong, you're the one who minds, you're the one who do the hard work as a guy, and you know, it's a guy's beer.
the last segment of our podcast. And I want to ask you one question. Where does Beer is Art go from here? What are future plans?
The future plan is we want to launch other initiatives, other Beer is Art, that's storytelling, filmmaking. You know, we can't do this by our own while we're teaching the youth beer brewing. You know, I want to get my friends from the film industry on board, you know, to shoot films about the brewers and, you know, profile them, promote them, you know. So, you know, we can't do it without them. You know, the youth need to go to them and learn or work after Beer is Art if they want to work at the brewery. So they must be lifted as well as we are getting lifted. So when there's promotional materials, films that are sympathetic to them, their breweries, people, you know, get to, you know, give them business and they get to grow. So it's, you know, taking everybody.
You say filmmakers coming together. It doesn't need to be very technical and subject oriented towards beer. Beer can be a central piece, a central character in the entire story. But build stories, human stories, you know, stories of goodness, stories of cheer, and then see that how you can integrate beer into the entire thing. And that's how I would say there's beer in everything in life. Therefore, the moment you're just restricted only to beer, it will come across sometimes as only if I love beer or I'm a beer drinker, then I would be interested in this film. But if you use beer as a vehicle, as a medium to project the goodness of life, to bring out change in society, I think it has a lot more acceptability and it's more relatable to a wider audience.
That's very true. Even if you don't drink, you come in.
Yeah, you should be able to relate to it and say, yes, I support Beer is Art because it's telling me such a beautiful story about life, about nature, about social activism, or even if it is something very light and funny, everything that beer is, you bring the same traits into your story.
True, I agree.
And on that note, you always have a support. We're always there for you. Anything about beer, we are here.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
So thank you so much, Hoba King, for being on the Cheers Charity podcast. I know we've been planning this since a very long time. And I also know you've been sweating a lot, so I'm not going to take too much of your time. But finally, cheers, we did it today. We finally recorded it. So that's it, Babus. This is Chari from Cheers Chari signing off. Please do follow us importantly on our podcast channels, and of course, our social media, right? Drop in a few good words about us, cheerful words about us. And take care, be good to beer, like the way we've been saying it on this, through this entire podcast and the previous one. Cheers, Babu. Take care. Good night.